Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Texas. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 45. The second paragraph beginning, well, that's exactly what this book is about. And we're reading through one paragraph ending, he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Nancy R., 12 traditions, Anita L., and then our readers of the text are Devorah S. and Tamara C., and then thank you, Susan S.H., for being our backup reader this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 15th, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,550. So that is 23550. And then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,551, 23551. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Nancy R. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Thank you so very much, Lindsay. Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service. Have a great day. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Nancy R. And I'll now ask Anita L. to read the 12 traditions for us. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, everyone. This is Anita L. from outside Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks and have a beautiful day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics. We are on page 45, the second paragraph. Well, that's exactly what this book is about, and we will be commenting on that one paragraph this morning. So I will now ask Devorah S. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Devorah.
Good morning. Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Devorah S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, that we are going to talk about God. Here a difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. But we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Well, okay, and isn't that true? I came into this program 1999, and my problem was I had a food problem. I couldn't stop eating. And so I thought that that's what this is all going to be about. You're going to help me lose weight, get into a thin body, and thank you very much, and I'm on my way. But here I am all these years later because I'm still trying to solve my problem, right? My problem is that I need to find a relationship with the higher power, and thank you God today, you know, I have. But it doesn't mean I graduate and I'm on my way. I need to keep coming back and working it and growing and developing and growing towards God. But when I read this, I remember those days when they say to me, you know, yes, we can help you. But I became like, you're going to talk to me about God? I know what God's all about. I went to religious school all my life. I came from a religious family. I know all about God, you know? And I said, you know, I don't know what you can tell me about God. Or I felt, is this God thing that you're going to tell me about? Is it going to go against anything that I believe in already? Like, I got concerned about that. And I can tell you all these years later, thank you, God. I'm so grateful that I had an open mind and I listened and I saw that, yes, this God that we're talking about here is the same God that I grew up with and that I know. But I now know this power even more, because the God that I grew up with was there for other people. And, like, you know, I didn't know how to make it personal to myself. And you people out here, you taught me how I can make God personal to me. That, yes, it will solve my problem, which is the food, which was the food. But there were so many other things that developed once we got the food down, right? I have all my stuff that I'm left with, my fear, my selfishness, my self-seeking behavior, my insecurities, all these things that were uncovered, my character defects were uncovered after I became abstinent and put the food down. It's amazing, right? I thought life was going to be beautiful once the food was down. But so many other things came around. And that's where this relationship with my higher power was able to grow and lean. And I am able to lean into God to relieve me of everything. So I'm just so grateful today that I stuck around, and nothing was against anything that I'm grew up with, or in fact, instead, it enhances my life and it makes me closer. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being here, and I welcome you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah S. in New Jersey. Thanks for getting us started today. And before we take a lineup, just want to let you know, although we absolutely value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Charles A. Harlan in Arizona.
Janet.
Roz G. All right. Roz G. Let me tell you who I have so far. I know I've missed a lot of people. I've got Charles H., Harlan G., Pete B., and Roz G. So who did I miss?
Teresa
Van L.
Jason
K.
Lisa B.
Janet B.
Melissa
C. Janet B.
All right, so here's who I've got now after Roz, Teresa, Yvette, Jason, KP, Janet B., and Melissa C. So let's start. Oh, and Lisa B., I did hear you, and thank you for speaking up again. So I've got you there. All right, great. So we will start with Charles, followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Charles H. Please share with us.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. An awakened mind is not interested in chaos, drama, or conflict. And they're also not interested in trying to convert people to do what they're doing. You know, God is a gentleman. He doesn't go where he's not wanted. And, you know, you can find some other type of way, even in the AA Big Book. You know, thank God to Jim Burwell and the boys, you know, Hank P. They didn't want to hear the word God. But for me, if the word God and the concepts and rituals that are going to relieve me of my compulsive food, I don't give a hell what you call it. And I don't care who don't want to hear it or not. This is a personal vendetta I have against alcoholism. And last week, I believe, on the 10 a.m. Meeting, my friend from Boston, I'm not going to name drop, we don't do those around here, but she said isms, ICME, indescribable short memory. I could hold my breath underwater for a little while, but the power of God runs deep. And it runs even when I don't run. It runs when I run out. I'm so grateful for the principles, the concepts, the rituals, whatever the hell you want to call it or not call it. I don't care. This thing is working for me. And, you know, although I'm not one of those I used to be, I'm not one of them cheerleaders for Overeaters Anonymous that's going to go on a roof and shout it out loud. But there's a fire in me. There's a fire lit in me that shows gratitude in my attitude for this way of living. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Charles H. in New York. And then next up is Harlan G., followed by Pete B. Morning, Harlan.
Thanks. Thanks, Lindsay. I appreciate your service tonight. And when you remind me, please don't be subtle. Please be loud and proud. This is the thesis line of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. First of all, when I came into OA 47 years ago, just about everybody was running around saying what you hear today. Abstinence is the most important thing in my life. Abstinence is the most important thing in my life. Not for me, thank you. The most important thing in my life is to encourage myself to take action after action to develop and improve a relationship with a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. Notice it doesn't say problems. We will always have problems. And that's one of the things that bothered me many years ago. I'm doing everything you're telling me to do. Why do I still have problems? Well, let's take a look at the consistency, because this mission statement, this thesis line of the big book tells me that there is more to this than sanity. Let's look at what it doesn't say. It doesn't say the main object is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. Being abstinence, it says my relationship with a power greater than myself. Let's go to page XIII. It says in the second sentence on page XIII, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. Is that consistent? Yes. Let's go to page 20. Page 20 of the big book is in the chapter, There is a Solution. And in the first line of the second paragraph, it is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. Is that consistent? Yes, it is. So the main object of my life, or the main thing in my life, is beyond abstinence. Abstinence is what gets me on the highway. It's the entrance ramp to the highway. It's English 101. I can't get a college degree without English 101. But English 101 is not the reason I went to college. That's what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. This is the mission statement. This is the thesis line of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, is that we are here to establish a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And this is the key. It is not about anything else. Yes, abstinence is absolutely a requirement.
That's time.
Abstinence. Thank you, Lindsay. I'll stop right there. I trust the people coming behind me. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Harlan G. in Arizona. And next up is Pete B., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for taking the meeting. I appreciate your service. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater that's recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. So why does the previous paragraph say that lack of power, that was our dilemma, when many of us seem to take the position that lack of power is our dilemma? Right? It was as past tense, and there's a reason why, right? And the reason why is because the person writing this is writing it from a recovered perspective. So if I didn't have something, then I found something that gave me what I didn't have, now I have it. Right? This idea that we are powerless and we will always be powerless and we never have any power over our thoughts or over our emotions or over our well-being is inconsistent with what this literature says. So what is it that this power does for us, right? What is it that this higher power does for us? Well, it tells us that there is a solution that we are unable at certain times to bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering caused by food, and we choose to take the first bite or the first drink, the phenomenon of craving kicks in and we are without power. Right? So this power doesn't come down and magically put some kind of barrier between me and my refrigerator. This power restores me to sanity. It allows me to bring into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering caused by food, and I'm enabled to make a decision not to put the substance in my body. Therefore, I don't trigger the phenomena of craving. See, that fact, right? Not assumption, not guess, fact. I cannot get the phenomena of craving unless I ingest the substance that causes it. It doesn't come from my inability to manage my emotions or my feelings or not having a sponsor or not doing a good enough job on my fifth step or not regularly practicing some ridiculous process that somebody told me is going to be the solution to my problem. That comes only from a power greater than myself. That's what being restored to sanity is. So what are we seeking to have happen? We're seeking to get the power that this book says I'm going to get. What's it tells me on page 53? We have a power to reason. On page 85, it says we can exercise our willpower all we want. There's proper use of the will. And most importantly, on page 132, it says we have recovered and have been given the power to help others. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete B. in Pennsylvania. All right, next up, Roz G., followed by Teresa A. Morning, Roz.
Good morning, and thank you for hearing me. And calling my name to share. I'm Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And I'm also recovered by God's grace and mercy. And I do not want to come to you today with a tone of spiritual high, with a high moral, you know, a whip. What I want to say is that I came to Overeaters Anonymous 22 years ago as a woman that was not far from a fundamentalist church background. I went to church 3 times a week and more. I sent my kid to a Christian school, and it dominated my life. It was the center of my life, the church, not God, the actions and the norms of the church. Yet I practiced the disease of compulsive overeating at the church because everything was surrounded by food. And I would go to Bible study on Tuesdays and at 8 o'clock in the morning, have a breakfast at home and then have another breakfast at the Bible study. I would go to ladies' retreats where there would be plenty of food and dessert. And I remember one night they didn't serve dessert and I was so pissed off, but I couldn't show my anger in front of anybody because I didn't want to seem like I was ungodly. And when I started coming to Overeaters Anonymous, finally I got myself out of that situation. That was hard, but I did. And I went to meetings where we just talked about our problems, very little about recovery. And then when I saw a woman who had this book in her hand, I found a big book, Recovery. And I got to see that no matter what rituals I did at church and what actions I took through the church, I had no clue on what my problem was. And after studying this book and taking the actions and doing what the book told me to do, I found a relationship with God. And I have attributes that I have, you know, written down and meditated on that have been so pleasant and so wonderful and so trusting, where God is so kind and caring and cares about me and straightens my paths and removes my anger and shines the light and meets my needs and is a big bean bag of chair of love. And I've learned, and I am learning, I still am,
that's
how to
kind.
Eat. Thank you. And thank you, God. I thank you very much for this work, Atas.
Thanks, Roz G. in California. And then next up is Teresa A., followed by Yvette L. Teresa, please share with us.
Thank you for your service, Lindsay. Teresa A. in Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm thinking about the day after Thanksgiving in 2006. That's when I first came to OA, and my first OA experience, a weekend-long retreat. You know, I found it online, and I thought, okay, let me go. And when I went to the retreat, and I saw the steps, and I heard all the God talk, my first reaction was, oh, okay, this is about God. I got this. I can do this. I know God. This is going to be good. In fact, I left that weekend retreat thinking, I got this. I've got steps 1, 2, and 3. The last 19 and a half years have been a rude awakening because even though I knew God, this program taught me that I really didn't know God, that I didn't trust God, that I was acting in a way that I was going to be in control. And it's because, you know, I didn't know that I was an agnostic, but I was acting as an agnostic. So I wanted to speak specifically to those who are faithful, the people who are affiliated with a church or a belief or profess a belief in God and who are in the food right now. Because there is someone on the line right now who understands and knows a loving God but is in the food right now. It is not the protective shield that I thought it was. It is not the saran wrap that I thought it was. I thought, oh, I've got this. What I had to learn through the process of doing this work was that page 62 tells me, first of all, I have to quit playing God. I act like an agnostic when I am trying to play God. And then on page 98, it tells me I have to trust in God. I have to trust in the God that I profess. And I have to clean house. I have to do the work. I have to do the work. And it's the steps, and sometimes it's outside help. Whatever it's going to take to clean out those cobwebs that clogs up that connection between me and the God that I profess. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Teresa A. in Maryland. And then next up is Yvette L., followed by Jason K.P. Good morning, Yvette.
Good morning. My name's Yvette, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And, finding access to a power greater than myself, has been quite the journey. And, my understanding of this power greater than myself is, you know, an understanding that works for me. And I don't get to impose my ideas of what this power is on anyone else. And so my idea for me, this power is, you know, a capital I intelligence and a capital C creativity. That's what works for me. And, you know, this has given me a life, you know, beyond anything I ever expected to live. And everybody, you know, has the opportunity to create their own concept of a power greater than themselves that's going to work for them. But I have to be careful about, you know, imposing my ideas on other people because I have no right to do that. You know, this is what works for me, and that's all I need to know. And I'm just so grateful for this journey. You know, my journey in these rooms started in 1992, but it took me a long time to, you know, get out of my own way and really to allow this power to guide my life. You know, I still have will. I will always have my will. But today I'm trying to align my will with this power's will because it's better. You know, my life is better when I'm trying to align my will with the power greater than myself. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Yvette L. And next up is Jason KP, followed by Janet B. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Jason KP, recovered compulsive eater, bulimic, outside of the Philadelphia area here in Pennsylvania. And, you know, again, weren't we agnostics? Bill's trying to, you know, convince us of the need for a higher power. And these two phrases are amazing. You know, lack of power, that's our dilemma. He spends great and considerable effort and, you know, typeface to present the problem of powerless to us in multiple different ways. And this is our step one, very, you know, utter, complete defeat and demoralization, dejection, and you're just you're in a very, very bad place. And so this central idea is access to the power. And I think, like, we have to ask ourselves, or for me, I ask myself, you know, when I'm speaking, when I'm sharing, when I'm on a phone call, when I'm doing 10 steps, when I'm connecting with other fellows, is this our main objective? You know, sometimes it's tempting to get done a 10th step and, you know, a conversation with someone and say, do you feel better? And it's, well, maybe, but it's not the point, really. Do I feel more connected to my higher power, aligned with God's purpose? Yeah, that sounds more like a question we should be asking. And if we can really sort of take on the central purpose of this book, power, dilemma of power, and when working with sponsees, can we keep driving it back, right? If they're struggling with their first step, like, go back to the power list. Did you really choose to break your abstinence, or did you not have the power? Going back to this concepts of the book, this phenomenon of craving, these mental twists. And we can get lost in, you know, for me, like the food, you know, let's get your abstinence definition. Let's figure out, you know, how you can get a stable, solid food plan. For what, right? Let's bring it back. For what? So you can get a clear head. You can put the food in its place and we work through the steps. Why? We need access to power, right? We can do a four-step. You know, yes, there's some psychological benefit or relief or release sometimes, right, or most of the time. But for what? Because the channel is clogged. You're looking to get open-hearted and clear, a clear channel to your higher power. So keep bringing it back. And when I first came to meetings and went into these rooms, it wasn't really clear. Like someone said previously, we shared about our problems. We're going to share it or wear it. We're going to keep it green. We're going to call somebody before we eat. And guess what? I didn't recover. And for me too, there's this checklist thing today. How's your program, right? Did you make a certain amount of phone calls and certain amount of meetings? That's not always an indicator of our connection to our higher power. When my father passed, I ran to Arizona and I didn't do a lot of external outward program things, but the level of presence and open-heartedness to be there for my mom and my family was so profound. So profound, and I was connected to a sense of purpose to be there to help, and I didn't do the checklist. So this is for me where this strikes me, just getting back to that core purpose, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jason KP in Pennsylvania. And then before Janet B., let me just let everyone know where we are in the book in case you hopped on a bit late. So we are in the big book on page 45, the second paragraph.
Well, that's exactly what this book is about. All right, Janet B., you're up, followed by Melissa C.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. They're real clear here. They say, we're going to tell you about your problem, and then we are going to talk about God. And then it says, oh, some agnostics say, no, their faith falls. What's the tendency to do sometimes? Unfortunately, sometimes we dummy it down, right? Well, if you don't believe in God, you can make the group your higher power. Well, the last paragraph in More About Alcoholism says that doesn't work. Or you can make anything your higher power as long as it's not you. So people have said, like, okay, a doorknob's my higher power. I mean, I've heard things like that. One person said, this movie star is my higher power. And they're saying no. Elsewhere in this chapter, it says you can have any concept of God you want, provided it makes sense. Well, y'all might love me, but you can't give me power. So there goes the idea of group as a power. And to dummy it down, it makes me think of, like, when I had pneumonia and I went to the hospital and they said, okay, you need to take these antibiotics. Imagine if I'd said to my doctor, you know what, I don't like swallowing pills. And the doctor says, okay, we'll start you off slow. Just take vitamin C instead. I mean, I would have been in a lot of trouble. So when we dummy down what it means to believe in God, people end up in trouble and end up not abstinent. But some people, like me, grew up with a hard concept of God, a God who's just like waiting to get me for everything I did wrong. But look at this beautiful line. The main object of the book is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That gives me four clues about this power, about this God. If this power is going to solve my problem, it must be able to think, right? A hurricane can solve my problem, is a power greater than me, but it can't think. Obviously can't solve my problem. This power must be smart if it can figure out how to solve this age-old problem. This power must be strong because this illness is certainly stronger than I am. So this power has to be stronger than I am and stronger than the illness. And most important, this power must care about me, because otherwise, with all this stuff going on in the world, with war and poverty and famine and human trafficking, this power is going to take time out of watching over the world to solve my problem. That is a God who must love me, who must care about me. And that is a God I can be interested in. And then in the next step, three, surrender my life to. So from my perspective, we never dummy down God for anyone. We just show the person how beautiful and loving and powerful and good God really is. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janet B. in North Carolina. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and it really brings me right back to my experience. You know, I did get comfort initially by, oh, here's this fellowship. And that thing that you've been suffering from, it's not your fault. You know, and here we are. We're a group of people and we've been suffering from it too. And that brought me tremendous comfort, you know, especially seeing people who didn't look like they were suffering anymore. That got my appetite wet. But then when they spoke about God, I was like, oh, crap. Like, no, that's not going to work for me. And I tried. I tried and tried and tried and tried. You know, I did what I call the OA Light program, which is basically an ineffective program. It was a program where I, you know, selected the things that I thought made sense for me, and God was not it. You know, thank you very much. I had a whole backstory, you know, of why that wasn't going to work for me because, you know, I had had too many life experiences where I cried out for God, and he didn't answer me, you know, and that was the story I told. But, you know, we're told that we get beat to a state of reasonableness. And I'm grateful that happened to me because then I was actually, you know, directed through this book And I'd say, you know, I'm a practitioner of this book, and I hold this book up and I say, this book is to enable, to assist and help people like me establish a relationship with God, because I had it all wrong. You know, I found that out through the working of this book. It wasn't that God failed me. It was that I thought I was God. I did not know how to rightly relate myself to God, because what I found out through the working of the 12 steps is I can have a relationship with my Creator. And today I do. It is my closest relationship of all, and I've got lots of loving relationships in my life, but this is the primary relationship of my life because it can solve my problem. But it is not a relationship built on equality like my other relationships. I have to rightly relate myself to God. God is my director. You know, I am his agent. I hope to represent what I believe he wants me to do. And when I put myself in that position and I follow the directions in this text, what God has done for me is he has given me, you know, an infusion of power where I don't operate on willpower anymore where food is concerned. My loving Creator actually removed the desire and has given me purpose, direction, and meaning in my life. And I'm really grateful. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. in New York. And the next up is Lisa B. And after Lisa, we will take another list of people to share. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. I could so relate to this paragraph, especially the part about the new man whose face fell when we spoke of spiritual matters. That was absolutely me in the beginning, because I have limited belief. And more than that, I thought that God could help me but would not help me, because I, too, had cried out to God, you know, or asked for things from God like he was a genie in the sky or something. And when I didn't get what I wanted or thought that I needed, I thought, okay, he'll help other people, but he won't help me, because I had no relationship with him. And thinking that, I'm sorry, today I have an ever-evolving relationship with God, and it's a relief to turn things over to him and trust and believe that he will take care of them. Probably not the way that I want him to, but what's best for me and everybody involved. And when I can do that, oh my God, it's so much more peaceful. And yeah, I don't know. I think that pretty much says it all for me, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B. in Michigan. All right, we have time for a few more shares. So who else would like to share this morning?
Aya P. and
Jennifer C.
Lisa C.
Donna M. Judy N.
Is that
Morgan?
Donna
K. Okay.
All right, so let me tell you who I've heard. I've got Haya P., Jennifer C., Lisa C., Donna N., Judy N. That's probably all we'll get to. And then I heard Kimberly and Laura as well. So let's see how we do on time. Haya P., please go ahead, followed by Jennifer.
Thanks, Lindsay. Hi, everybody. My name is Haya P., very grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. I live in New Jersey now. Thank you so much for your service, and I just want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous. You landed in a really good Overeaters Anonymous meeting that we call A Vision for You, where we study the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which has the program of recovery in it. And as we're reading today, you know, the purpose of the book is to get you to recover, and in order to do that, we need to get a power greater than ourselves, which will restore us to sanity.
I always share that I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God. It was just not what I was looking for, quite frankly. I was really looking for a way to stop binging and purging and dieting and laxatives and Bexatrim and restricting and all the stuff I was doing around food. God was not what I was looking for, I have to tell you. However, I ran out of that meeting, but I came back because I was really desperate. Like, nothing was helping me. And I did hear, as you've heard today, you know, many people share about being recovered, having worked the 12 steps, and having gained a relationship or redefined or improved or developed more a relationship with God, or like me, commenced to find one. And, you know, step two is coming to believe that it's possible. And that's all we need. And I'm grateful that's all we needed, because that was very humble beginnings for me. But I'm so grateful that this was the solution, because as we know, all the other things out there, for someone like me and probably many of you who are real compulsive overeaters, like a real alcoholic, I need something with depth and weight. And the most depth and weight that is available, I believe, is that fundamental belief in a higher power or God. And I'm so grateful. And I'll tell you, you know, I am grateful that this was my my vehicle, this was the thing that got me to connect with a power greater than myself, because that power has come very handy in living life. I don't know how people raise kids, stay married. I'm married 35 years today. And I don't know. It's hard enough with God. I can't imagine without. And professionally, I you know, I'm a therapist, and I, you know, many times people, oh, thank you. Thanks. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Haya P. in New Jersey. Next up, Jennifer C., followed by Lisa C. Morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service, honey. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. So, main object. To enable me to find a power greater than myself, which is going to solve my problem, singular, but all kinds of problems, right? But this is going to solve my problem. First, it tells me that my problem is that I cannot quit entirely, and I have little control over the amount I take once I get started, right? So this disease forces me to face my problem. My problem. What is my problem? Well, it gets my attention with this problem that I have destroying myself with food. That's my problem, or so I think, right? Like, that's my problem. Like, fix the food and I'll be okay. And then this book teaches me that I actually have a spiritual problem. And the problem is ultimately trusting and relying upon finite self rather than my infinite God. That's my real problem. And I'm so grateful, you know, for this disease, because ultimately it teaches me real humility, real depth of my own depravity and my own need for power and my own need for rescue, right? And this book goes on to really teach us the biggest problem in the room, which is ultimately my self-centeredness and myself being on the pedestal and myself being the central fact and my own problems and my own designs being the central fact. And then I go through this process, and all of a sudden, as I continue this work over and over and over and over and over again, I become a person who continues to pray for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry it out. So what do I really need power for? Yes, I need the power to not destroy myself with food, but ultimately, I need the power to carry out God's will one day at a time. And I'm so grateful that this book just goes play by play. Bill was so brilliant. He knew he couldn't get us all at once, right? He had to take it slowly. He had to get our attention with this addiction. And then he introduces us to the real problem and the fact that God is our solution one day at a time. Thank you all for being here. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. in South Carolina. Next up, Lisa C., followed by Donna N. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I am a compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and I'm recovered for today. I've had so many thoughts about yesterday's reading and today's reading, and just like this concept of power, which is so interesting, really interesting. And I think that, like, for me, you know, I tried, everyone's got a different spiritual journey. And some of us have, like, you know, more of a religious background, you know, and that was either compelling or repellent to the spiritual concept, or vice versa. You know, and for me, honestly, I tried really hard to be atheist. I really, really did, because, you know, logically, like, I hadn't seen God. I wanted to really stand on my own two feet in this world. I wanted was my problem. I thought that, like, a lack of confidence was my problem. And I was often told that by people. I was very sensitive as a child. I was very easily, you know, put off balance, so to speak. And, you know, what I have found is that in trying really hard to convince myself that there's nothing out there or inside of me that kind of connects this whole web of existence, what I have found is that really, there's mystery everywhere, you know, even in the most, I think, research topics. I'm reading this great book about sleep right now. And even in this book, there are so many things that are still not explained, right? And so what I have found for myself, part of this conception of God, right, we're going to talk about God, well, then I better start investigating what it is that I think about God, and also maybe leave some room for not knowing. And so for me, wherever there's some mystery, that's kind of where the power is, right? That unexplained stuff, that's sometimes where the power is. It's the unseen. It's the stuff that can't be proven, or that we as the human race are still trying to pin down and understand. It's beyond conception. And I think that for me, that was very helpful. I don't know if that's helpful for someone who's, you know, grappling with concepts. And for me, you know, like, let's just let God be a proxy for whatever it is. You know, I know it can be a challenging term, but I think that anything that's more powerful than a single human being that has a benevolent force, right? Like the sunshine. I mean, there are many things that we can kind of fill in and have an ersatz God experience if we need to, and that can lead us to something else. But I do believe that, there's no hope for me without this mysterious, benevolent force. And I do think somewhere in the book it does say great mystery in capital letters.
That's
I do
fine.
Think that there's something to that that can be helpful. And if it is, great. And thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa C. in New Jersey. And we have time for one more share. We've got 2 minutes for you, Donna N. So please take us out.
It's Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. I am so grateful for the opportunity to share. And the line I want to, we have to find a power by which we could live. So we're told we need to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 to grow in a spiritual life. And I have a good example this year of where I was doing all the checklists. I was doing my step 10s. I was continuing to sponsor, going to meetings, everything. But the one thing that I was blocked by was my morning prayer and meditation. And often there was no pause during the day, because there were 2 incidences where I didn't handle conflict with positive energy. And I saw that I was using other things, media and screens, to block myself from my higher power. And I had a good example when I started to address that of how God entered in. There was one night where something had happened to my grandson, and I was so disturbed I did a step 10. I saw my disturbance, but I wanted to go and watch an episode. I thought I couldn't sleep if I didn't watch this episode, but I knew that I had watched what I needed, what I had defined as abstinent for me. And so I couldn't watch the episode. And then I woke up the next morning and I had slept. And there was a sense of peace there. And I thought, wow, God, you entered in my heart. And then later on, you know, there were conflicts. And God told me, I thought I needed to ignore that and just accept. And God told me that he would give me the power to handle those conflicts with positive energy, and he did, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna, in Ontario, Canada, and thank you to everyone who shared and for those that gave service on the meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, June 16th, is 23,553. That's 23553. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer together. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, this is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.